modiga människor.
Modiga människor.
Modiga människor.
Well, hello, Dr. Stephen O'Connor.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess.
Yeah,
it's morning
afternoon here in
you.
Sweden, but morning for you. So I'm very, very pleased that you are with us. And I just introduced you short. We talked about this, that you have 33 years of emergency medicine experience. Can you, as a physician? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. I'm a traditionally trained medical doctor. And I spent 33 years in trauma and emergency medicine. Most of those years, I was director of our department. And it was a wonderful experience, because one of the areas where medicine really shines, modern medicine, Western medicine, I should say, really shines is acute care, trauma care. It falls off quite a bit off from there. I think in general practice, internal medicine, family practice, pediatrics, I think we do a disservice to our patients practicing a traditional model.
So now your life is quite different, because you kind of mix traditional medicine and other things. And
yes,
My
undergraduate degree in university was botany and biology, and I was a botanist. I was going to go into developmental biology, which is the study of the progression of how life changes through different systems, like vertebrates, invertebrates, etc. I also had a special emphasis in mycology. So one of my teacher's professors was a world-renowned mycologist in the study of mushrooms and fungus and that line. So I had a kind of a different background. I went into traditional medicine because I thought that's where I wanted to go. Had a very successful practice for, as you said, 33 years. But probably the last 10 years of that, I became disillusioned and started to look into alternative, what's called alternative here. It should be mainstream, but it's called alternative medicine. And I became interested in functional medicine, which is a type of medicine where you practice for looking at the root cause of disease, and not treating it with a Band-Aid like modern Western medicine does. We have a pill for an ill, and I didn't seem settled with that type of practice. So I started looking into additional ways to help the people that were coming to me that were, despite our best efforts. In the United States, we spend almost $4 trillion, trillion with a T, which is, dwarfs the economies of almost every country in the world, just on healthcare. But yet we have, our life expectancy is going down. Our obesity rates are going up. The amount of metabolic or chronic disease is going up. And this is despite having the most expensive, twice as expensive as any other industrialized country on healthcare. And that just started hitting me. And I knew that there had to be a better way. And that's when I started to relate to functional medicine, study functional medicine, get certified. I also am a proponent of plant. When I say traditional, I'm saying traditional in the old sense, not the modern medical doctor, but the traditional medicines of plant medicines, which include CBD, which include ancestral medicines like ayahuasca, wachuma, psilocybin for not only physical healing, but also emotional healing, which tends to be a root cause of disease in our modern world.
Fantastic. Yeah. So the theme of today is why CBD, or I mean, and the, or the benefits of it. So.
Well, CBD is, it's something that I'm very passionate about. I think that as a compound, the plant polyphenols and terpenes and such that you find in the hemp plant, which compose the CBD in the endocannabinoid system, and the cannabinols, which are the root molecules that you find in CBD, those have an incredible ability to balance our physical and emotional state. And because of my emphasis in more traditional healing and plant medicine healing, as well as the endocannabinoid system functional medicine, CBD is one of the pillars of wellness that I've come to understand. And CBD in itself is, I don't like to use the word miracle because I think that there are, to be real about this, there are benefits of CBD. There are some people who have wondrous relationships with the CBD molecules. There are some people who get very good benefit, and there's some people who don't get much of a benefit. Now, when I, those three different categories seem, well, if it's a fantastic molecule, like you're saying, why doesn't it always help people equally? Well, that depends on their lifestyle. It's an incredible molecule if you have a deficiency in the endocannabinoid molecules that your body produces naturally. If you have a deficiency in that and you can replace those, your life becomes more blissful, more joyful, more healthy. If you have a lifestyle that continues to suppress or break down your system, if you live an unhealthy lifestyle, if you don't get exercise, if you don't get sunshine, if you don't eat naturally, if you eat highly processed and ultra processed foods, you create a system where your natural balancing systems like the endocannabinoid system and CBD can't really break through that barrier. So when you look at CBD, CBD can be wondrous if you're working hand in hand with it to heal your body, to heal your mind. And CBD, from that standpoint, is miraculous. If you work with the beauty and the honor of that group of compounds, it can really make a difference in your life.
And I think that's it's amazing, actually. But when did you start to work with CBD? And...
Probably about 10 years ago, I became interested in this. I started reading about, again, in my health and professional journey, I was looking for things that could make a difference in the lifespan and the health span of the people that I care about, and including myself. I was looking to make myself healthier. I had been an ultra athlete, an ultra marathoner, multiple Ironman finishes, etc. And so health and keeping myself from breaking down was very important. I came upon an article on the endocannabinoid system, the ECS, and it's a name that sounds really, you know, challenging, endocannabinoid system, but it actually is a very important part of our physiology. It's probably one of the oldest physiologic systems in humans. When I say oldest, because it started out probably 2 billion years ago. that's when that the endocannabinoid receptors started coming into to our world. And then as we evolved to where we are now as humans, that endocannabinoid system has become one of the major systems that balances and regulates hormones, enzymes, nutrients in our body. And the CBD system, it was the endocannabinoid system was found in the late or the mid 1990s. And so it's an incredibly old system that was just one of the most recent found by science. And we found the way that they found it is they were studying the plant endocannabinoids, like CBD. They saw these CBD molecules. And one of the research scientists recognized that he had seen molecules in humans that were very similar. And so that led them to look for endocannabinoids in the human body, and that's what they found. In their discovery phase, they found that every cell in the human body, except the red blood cell, has a CBD receptor, either a CB1 or a CB2 receptor. So when you're a scientist, when you have a scientific mind and you ask, okay, if every human cell has a CB receptor, it must be incredibly important because the body is very good at utilizing its resources. So if something isn't very important to the human body, it will downregulate or start to not spend its resources on keeping that system going. It just naturally gets, you know, pushed down on the hierarchy of importance. But the endocannabinoid system, because it those receptors are found on every cell in the human body, it is an incredibly important system. Now, every cell in your body can make endocannabinoids, like anandamide or 2-AG. Those are the two molecules. They're called the bliss molecules or the happy molecules, because they have such an impact on your psychologic health as well as your physiologic health. And when they found that those molecules and those receptors were similar to what they found in the hemp plant or in the biologics of plants, they decided that there must be an interesting way to help restore some of the depletion of our natural endocannabinoids, and by using a CBD product. So when they used the CBD, they noticed that people felt better, their digestive systems benefited, their microbiome, which are the bacteria that line your gut that basically control all of your physiology. You can't absorb nutrients without your natural bacteria. You can't have calmness, because it creates most of the serotonin that goes to your brain that helps you feel blissful and happy and content. So all those things are enhanced by the endocannabinoid system, and subsequently by helping to supplement with plant-based cannabinoids like CBD. So it's incredibly important. It's a beautiful balancing system in our body. So if our immune system gets revved up, you can take CBD to enhance your natural endocannabinoids, and then it'll balance out your immune system. So your immune system doesn't go into hyperdrive when it shouldn't, like with the COVID situation. That caused many people's immune systems to go completely out of control. But if you were to take something like an endocannabinoid CBD product, you could balance that immune system. You could dial it down so it wasn't fighting the body. That's just one example. Your brain, because our modern society, which creates a very toxic environment, we have toxic air, we have toxic water, we have toxic soils, we have toxic social media, our bodies are inundated by all these stimuli that, whether they're chemical or psychological, visual, etc., they bombard the body, and that creates an ongoing stress that our bodies weren't built to manage. So by taking CBD, for instance, you can calm the nervous system. It's like turning the volume down on your car radio or your Bluetooth. You can turn down that volume. And so less input comes in, less chaos goes into your mind, and you feel more settled, more focused, more balanced. And by balancing your mind, you balance your body in return. And vice versa, if you can balance your body, you can balance your mind. So CBD is one of those beautiful, beautiful groups of compounds that can not only help your emotional state, but it also helps your physical state in so many ways. Again, I mentioned the bacteria in your gut. It helps in the synthesis of vitamin D, which, you know, especially in Sweden, in the northern latitudes, people are so deficient in vitamin D exposure. So CBD will help vitamin D get translated by the sun in your skin to the usable hormone that does all of its wonderful benefits. It can strengthen bones. It can help female hormone fertility, et cetera, by helping to balance those systems. Because not only does it directly affect the cells, but it can be used as a building block for other compounds. The body can use your natural endocannabinoids or CBDs and make different molecules, make different hormones, like sterol hormones, which are very important for female reproductive health, male reproductive health, etc.
It almost feels like we are designed to use CBD when yes, I listen to you.
Oh. Yes, because actually the CBD system, the endocannabinoid system, predated the human species. It was found in species as far as 2 billion years ago. So something that has held itself for 2 billion years in the physiology of animals, the physiology of life forms on Earth, in order to withstand 2 billion years of change and to be maintained, and to be maintained in every cell of the human body, again, with the exception of the red blood cell, that shows an incredible importance of this system.
Yeah, and here we are today with a lot of problems, ADH, people, especially kids, with all the problems, and we have crappy food, and the government is not so glad that we're using CBD, and people, I mean, we have a society where they really talk CBD down, so as something very dangerous, and yeah,
we had the same problem in the United States. The hemp plant, which is a cousin to marijuana, was thrown together in the dump heap of history because of the war on drugs, the war on psychedelics, the war on a number of things. So President Nixon, for instance, one of his cabinet members didn't like marijuana. They wanted to suppress the hippie movement, the freedom movement of the 60s in the United States and the 70s. And so they threw hemp in with marijuana because they wanted to control any sort of individual thought and freedom of using plant medicines for health, wellness, and spiritual development. So they scheduled it as a Schedule I drug. And so even though a Schedule I drug means that the drug has no potential biologic or physiologic benefit to the human body, and two, that it's addictive. Those are the two main criteria for illegal drugs that are classed as Schedule I. So hemp is neither. Hemp has a tremendous benefit. The CBD that comes from hemp plant has a tremendous benefit for the human physiology, and it is non-addictive. It does not stimulate the dopamine receptors in the body, which are the classic addictive compounds that stimulate the dopamine system, like your smartphone. Your smartphone is addictive because when it tings or buzzes, you get a release of dopamine. And that dopamine is a reward compound that reinforces patterns in us. So when someone's phone note goes off, what do? You'll see that initial, because that's the reptilian part of our brain being rewarded with dopamine, a tiny little pop of dopamine, almost instantaneous, because your phone pinged. Well, CBD does not do that. Actually, CBD is the opposite of that, because it turns down some of that stimuli. So when you look at hemp, the hemp plant was suppressed by our government as being something bad. Although historically, even up to World War II, people were paid to grow hemp in the United States because of all of its uses in wartime. It wasn't until 2018 when the state of Kentucky, and there is a senator in the United States named Mitch McConnell, and this goes to your craziness of the government, how the government determines things. Mitch McConnell was one of the most, or arguably is one of the most powerful senators in the United States. He comes from the state of Kentucky. Kentucky is known for tobacco growing. Well, the tobacco industry has fallen. So the revenues that the state of Kentucky was getting, the cash that the state of Kentucky got in taxes from tobacco growers, was going down and down and down. So they needed to come up with a way to supplement the income. Well, someone mentioned growing hemp. Well, when Mitch McConnell, who was a staunch conservative and said, oh, no, you know, all that stuff is, that's a drug. When he found out that it could financially benefit his state in a tremendous way, his whole mindset switched. He wasn't a proponent of CBD. He wasn't a proponent of hemp. He was a proponent of lining the treasury. And so in 2018, they proposed a farm bill, which allowed us to in a small step grow hemp, which then once that cat was out of the bag, it rolled. And so they couldn't stop the progression of CBD. And so they ended up having to legalize it. But what they did is they separated the 0.3 milligram percent, which is the traditional amount of THC that's in hemp, versus the high THC cousin in marijuana. So they legalized hemp, thankfully, after 70 years, and then they still made marijuana illegal, except in a few states in the United States, but federally it's illegal. So they tried to ban this compound without knowing how important it was, but when it became financially important, oh, okay. And even Mitch McConnell has financial ties to CBD companies now. So follow the money.
Yeah. But and I want to talk about you as a sportsman. Okay. Yeah. And have you noticed the benefits for yourself? I mean, doing an ultra marathon. It's quite
Well, that history has passed me by. I had never when I was doing my ultra marathons, I hadn't taken CBD at that point. But unfortunately, because it was illegal up until that point, most of my ultra marathons were finished back in 2010, 2011 was when I did my last one, because I found out that ultra marathoning is very dangerous to your physiology and your longevity. There's exercise is a U-shaped curve. On one side of the curve, like if you're a couch potato and you don't do any exercise, there are significant health deficiencies there. If you go too far and you go on the other spectrum where you do too much exercise, that can also be damaging to your physiology. But what I found, because of my knowledge of the ultra marathons, and I ran the Leadville 100, which is a 100-mile race in the mountains of Colorado. And it starts at about 2,800 meters and goes to about 3,300 meters of altitude, almost 4,000 meters of altitude. And it's run, you have 30 hours to complete the race. So that was one of the ultra marathons that I had done. Had I had CBD, I think my physiology would have been much more amenable to that sort of race, and my recovery would have been incredibly benefited from the CBD, because CBD again is a balancing compound. So when you break down your muscles, when you stress your immune system, doing the ultra marathons, because it severely stresses your immune system, so you're much more likely to get an illness or have problems after a marathon. The CBD can balance that, because it can bring your immune system back into balance. It can help the cells in your muscles and your testosterone levels recover, because you stress your hormone system dramatically after doing physical activity like that. And CBD could actually balance that and help your recovery in dramatic form. So when I coach people in healthcare and wellness, especially the athletes, CBD is an incredibly important part of that recovery program. And to keep a person healthy, it does require a lot of things, but one of the things that's primary and first on my list, sleep. You need sleep, you need nutrition, you need emotional balance. You need to be toxin-free as much as you can. So you need clean food, clean water, clean thoughts. And then you supplement with critical compounds like nutrients that can be converted into hormones in your body. One of those is CBD. You need something to balance your immune system. So zinc and copper and some of those trace elements are necessary to balance a stressed immune system. So you add that in again with CBD, and you have now a better balanced immune system. So your recovery is better. So your performance is better. I know when I did my ultra marathons, I had a profound sense of depression afterwards. I felt even though I was elated at my accomplishments, I'd done the Ironman World Championships in 92 and 95. And even though I was at the World Championships in Ironman in Hawaii, I felt incredibly depressed after finishing. And I thought, at that time, I thought, oh, it's just because I had this big goal and I completed it, and now I've got a down because I don't have my next goal. But it wasn't. It's because your testosterone levels go down, your serotonin levels go down. All of your hormones are significantly depleted by something that stressful on your body. So had I had CBD, that would have been absolutely paramount in my training regimen. And it maintains to this day. Anybody that I help coach for endurance events or sports events, I recommend CBD as one of their pillars of strength and wellness and health. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, yes. I just thought about addict personalities. I mean, there are quite a lot, and serotonin is often one of the things mm-hmm. that is quite low.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of the things with addictive personalities, there seems to be some genetic or epigenetic component that leads a certain person to have addictive tendencies. And in traditional modern medicine, they try to reduce everything to the smallest common denominator and then find something that can poison a pathway that can then change that event. And modern antidepressive medications like the serotonin uptake inhibitors and the non-selective serotonin uptake inhibitors, et cetera, they are created to help balance the depressive effects of addiction, because addiction works on many different pathways in the body. Not only do you have a tendency to be addictive, so your dopamine system tends to be very sensitive to change, but like you said, the serotonin levels are off. And so we look at a chemical imbalance in the brain in traditional medicine. Well, since the 70s and the Prozac revolution, when they came out with Prozac, they thought, oh, this is going to be, this is going to be the be-all, end-all. But they found out that by using Prozac, which inhibits a particular enzyme, which then theoretically increases the amount of serotonin and dopamine and some of these other neurotransmitters in your brain, that you could heal those problems. You could heal addiction with a pill. Well, they found out over these last 50 years since Prozac's come out, and I'm old enough to remember the congressional hearings on Prozac because it was that big of a deal. They found out that it's actually doing much more harm than good. So why is it doing harm? Well, there's a concept called isolates, and in pharmaceutical processing, in the vast majority of cases, they take a plant substance. And this is where knowing about plant healing and plant medicines and CBD and hemp come in. Because if you know, most pharmaceutical manufacturers will look at compounds that they find naturally in plants that have historically been used for health and wellness, like the digitalis flower, the digitalis plant. They found digitalis, which was found in these certain families of plants, they were used in old times to help people strengthen their heart. And they would grind up the flowers and they would grind up the stems, and then they would give that as a tea or as a concoction to someone who had heart problems. And they noticed that over hundreds of years, people got benefited by this particular group of plants. Well, modern medicine came in and analyzed these plants and found out that there was a compound called digitalis. And digitalis was used as an isolate. They isolated that particular compound, they patented it, and then they used it as a cardiac medication for people with congestive heart failure, for heart irregularities, because it would help that. Now, that sounds magical. That sounds wonderful. That sounds like, oh, you found this particular compound in this particular group of plants that helps your heart. Well, it's an isolate, which means that it's just one particular compound of many that are found in the natural world in the natural portion of that plant. And unfortunately, when you take an isolate, like these serotonin uptake inhibitors that they use as antidepressants, you take an isolate, it works in a very particular area of the body, but it can cause unforeseen changes, because if you block one system in the body, there are also multiple feedback loops in the body. The body has a check and balance system. So if you block with an isolate something, you could have a waterfall or a cascade effect of side effects by blocking one particular thing and not taking into account the whole system. So when we isolate things from nature, we take away all the beautiful other compounds that are there to support that, maybe that compound in healing. And that's why it's so important to use a product like a CBD instead of just cannabidiol. Cannabidiol is a particular isolate of the endocannabinoids, the plant cannabinoids that are found in hemp. And so when you isolate it, and they did, the British company used Epidiolex because CBD particularly is licensed. And this company in Great Britain used an isolate of hemp to make an anti-seizure medicine for children that had a particularly difficult type of resistant epilepsy. And they found that this CBD helped. Well, they isolated CBD and made Epidiolex, because that's the only way that they can profit and make money, is to isolate something from nature and license it. They can't license the hemp plant. But if you take the hemp plant and you take CBD and you give that to a child with epilepsy, and please, I don't want to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. This is not that. But if you give that whole plant oil to that child is going to be much healthier, much better treated, much better responsive to with their seizures than if you were to give the isolate, because you have, nature has all these other supporting compounds that work on subsystems of the brain, which may benefit their epilepsy to a much better level than just using the isolate. So the same thing goes with addiction. They've tried to come with compounds that affect the enzymes, the neurotransmitters in the brain. But over time, we found that when you just isolate a particular system, it degrades and degrades and degrades and degrades and degrades over time. So now you need more of those isolates. You need to change different classes of pharmaceuticals. And eventually, at the end, you have somebody who's resistant to depressive medication, antidepressive medications, and their depression is actually worse, higher suicide levels, higher maladaptive thought processes, etc. Now, if you had used a compound like a CBD, which can benefit the serotonin system naturally by going through the gut endobiome, by feeding that system, by altering the overall pathways in the brain, you have a much healthier balancing. And so if that anandamide and 2-AG are called the bliss molecules, they're called the bliss molecules for a reason, that when they're in sufficient quantities in the body, you have a state of wellness, you have a state of bliss. Yogis, when they're meditating, what's the one thing that they're increasing in their body? They're increasing anandamide and 2-AG in high concentrations, which then affects their psyche, which then affects their well-being, which then affects their immune system, which then benefits their gut. So they start absorbing nutrients better, they feel better, they act better, their bones and joints are better, their neurotransmitters are balanced. So they have health wellness and they have spiritual wellness. So I hope I explained in a roundabout way your addiction question.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, I just thought about, I mean, if nature is so smart, and if doctors would have given
receptive.
Yeah. To people with CBD instead. I mean, I heard a number that 75% of the people at the psychiatrist hospital are addicted person who, you know, came into this other addictions from doctors instead.
The opioid crisis is medical malpractice.
Yeah,
it's just an open form of medical malpractice, but they don't call it that.
No.
You know, we created these crises.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I remember when oxycodone, which is one of the most addictive compounds, opioid addictive compounds that we have, they were pushing us, and especially in emergency medicine, because I worked with acute pain and illness and trauma. And so when oxycodone came out, the pharmaceutical representatives, the government pushed us to control pain, because pain became the fifth parameter of, you took blood pressure, respiratory rate, heart rate, temperature, and then pain. The pain scale came in. So that became the fifth metric of healthcare. And when the pharmaceutical rep said, oh, oxycodone is not addictive, there's, you know, our studies show that it doesn't have any negative side effects. And so doctors in the United States, and I'm sure in Europe subsequently, were writing prescriptions for this pain medicine, unaware that maybe as high as 6 and 7% of our patients were becoming addictive. You know, most people don't, if you write a small quantity of this, the pain medicine for the appropriate use, you know, to get you through a very, like if you broke your arm, you write for a day or two of the pain medicine. But doctors were, because they were told it was non-addictive, it wasn't a problem, they were writing for 30 days of this, maybe sometimes even more. And it only takes a short period of time for people to become addicted to those opioids. And because of the way that it was promoted, because of the way that people misunderstood the system and how the physiology of addiction works, we created generations of people that were addictive. And you know, coming off those opioids is a horrible, horrible thing. Coming off those psych meds, because I do a lot of plant medicine work, and we do retreats down in Ecuador to traditional shamanic ceremonial plant medicines for people who have anxiety, depression, PTSD, addiction, etc. These plant medicines historically have shown that they can reverse the addictive characteristics in humans, and they can benefit people. But when we look at the plant medicines as a whole, and CBD, hemp is one of them, we understand the intelligence, like you said, of nature. You don't treat with a single isolate compound, which creates the cascade of problems. You treat with something that benefits the entire body and looks at the body from a historically natural perspective. And you don't, with plant medicines, you don't assume that the doctor is smarter than the body. Plant medicines assumes that the body is so much smarter than the doctor. What goes on physiologically in the tip of my finger, if you were to take the tip of my finger and look at all the enzymes, all the physiologic processes, all the neural processes, mitochondria, energetics, etc., the tip of my finger would fill a library of scientific journals. Just in that tip, you could spend your whole life just looking at the biochemistry of what goes on in 1 square centimeter at the tip of my finger. And you would still have hundreds and thousands of careers that would be necessary to understand everything that's found there. So here we are, modern doctors, trying to think with hubris, to think with no humility, to think with arrogance, that we know better than what is available to us in our natural world. And 90% of disease is caused by inflammation. Chronic disease is caused by inflammation. What if we looked at the root cause of what causes inflammation, looked to our natural world, turmeric, for instance, is a wonderful anti-inflammatory compound that's been vetted for thousands of years. Hemp, CBD, again, vetted for, we know that humans used hemp oil for at least 12,000 years. And there's probably things that lead to that the hemp plant may have been used even earlier than that. So for 12,500 years, they've known that this these oils found in this particular plant could heal. And you just have to look, you just have to look where nature is pointing you to. And nature can heal you. A medical doctor can help you. Like I said, in trauma medicine, very important, acute care. You don't go to your herbologist when you break your arm. You don't go to your naturopath when you are in a car wreck. You go to a traditional modern medical facility because we do that very well. We don't do the other 90% of chronic illness very well. And if we just opened our eyes from a professional standpoint and said, stop being so arrogant in our intellectual pursuits of medicine, and just went back and said, okay, this is how this system developed. How can we augment that system to bring ourselves into better health? And we would be demonstrably healthier. Although your addictive comment, your addiction comment, when we take a pill thinking that we're going to use the fastest, you know, we want, especially in America, I'm sure in Europe it's coming where it's been there. We want instant cure. We want an instant fix. We want instant gratification. And taking a pill, when you go to your doctor's and he writes you a prescription, that prescription is serving your dopamines, your addictive center, your reward center in your brain. That pings the dopamine because you think, because of your experience with doctors being supposedly the smartest people around for your health, he writes that prescription, it triggers your reward system. You take that pill, which most 60% of medications that we take have no benefit to our bodies. A pill is successful, pharmaceutically speaking, if only 40% of the people who take it get a benefit. If you're in that one standard deviation from the mean on that Gaussian curve, if you're in that 40 percentile, that's where they consider it a success. If you can benefit 40%, short-term benefit, again. Everybody else on the other wings of that could either be seriously hurt by that medicine or you're just wasting your money. But when you get that prescription and you fill it and you take that pill, again, you're dinging your brain. Your dopamine is coming out and you're getting a reward saying that this pill is helping me. Well, that's good and bad. It's bad in that 60% of the time it's not going to help you at all. It's good in that it's got a psychological, you know, like the it's got a effect on your brain that says the placebo effect, basically. So it triggers a placebo effect in your brain. If you could take a plant medicine, you're getting not only the placebo effect, like if you take CBD, you get the placebo effect because people tell you CBD is going to help you. It's going to help your discomfort. It's going to help your emotions. It's going to help your mood. It's going to help your sleep. So there is a placebo effect with CBD, but there's also this beautiful, intelligent plant effect that affects every system in your body in a smarter way than what science can create. So you get the best, you get the absolute best of both worlds, and it's a health strategy. But the caveat here, you have to help your body help yourself. You need those lifestyle changes. You need movement. You need sleep. You need nutrition. You need a good endobiome. You need exposure to the sun. You need to walk barefoot out in nature. You need to spend time with your family. You need to cook together. You need to spend time, if you're religious, praying together. If you're not religious, meditate together, or just spend time being around people that you care about, because all those create the environment where CBD or a compound, a plant medicine compound, can help you dramatically, because your body is receptive at that point. And then you bring in the good stuff and you say, okay, body, I know that you're depleted in this because my world depletes all these wonderful compounds in my body. I'm going to replenish you with something healthy instead of going to your doctor, asking for an antidepressant, asking for a pain medicine, asking for something that is going to do nothing but put a Band-Aid on it. And ultimately, you're going to develop a problem with that medicine in the long run, because your body now has to detoxify it. It has to protect itself from the damage that's going to be done down the road.
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, I think we really are holistic species. So, I mean, for me, but most people don't want to do the work. So, and that's one of the problems. But if you want to feel good, you actually need to do something. And I just have one more question, because I don't want to do such a long episode, but it's about the children and the problem with ADHD, and in Sweden the rate for the prescription of the
antidepressants, yes,
yeah, so
and the stimulants that they give for ADHD.
Yeah, I think the rate in Sweden is like 800% the last 4 years for teenagers. So it's very high numbers. So it says something about how people feel, and especially young kids.
Yeah, again, you're looking at instant gratification, because how does first off, if you had clean food, if you didn't treat people with antibiotics at the drop of a hat and wipe out their endobiome, wipe out the bacteria that balance the nervous system. There's a reason why it's called the gut-brain connection. The gut and the brain, there's more nervous system interaction from the gut to the brain than the brain to the gut. So the nervous system is not just here in the brain, the central nervous system. It's found all over. And so all those neurotransmitters that affect the brain are generally produced in higher quantities elsewhere in the body, and then are transported through cell signaling and nervous signaling to the brain to enact a response. When we take children and we put them in nature and we let them run and we let them play, we let them get vitamin D, we let them get play in the dirt, and so they're getting bacteria that's naturally going to help their digestive system. We take away the sterility of our modern life and we put children in those environments. They have almost no demonstrable ADD, ADHD, depression, obesity, etc., which are all the ills of modern society. If you take a child and you start feeding them processed and highly processed foods and they don't get the nutrition, their gut bacteria get wiped out. The good bacteria that helps them absorb. So they get, not only do they not get adequate macronutrients like carbohydrates and good fats and proteins, but their micronutrients don't absorb. So they get deficient in certain minerals, they get deficient in certain enzymes and amino acids, and et cetera. So that's when the endobiome, the bacteria in the gut, can't produce enough serotonin, can't produce enough of the neurotransmitters like dopamine and such that can, in balanced amounts, can regulate the brain activity of a young child. So now you've created a nutritional deficiency, which then snowballs into physiologic deficiency, and you get acting out behavior. And that acting out behavior is looked at by the teacher as, I can't control him. He's too crazy in class. He's too busy. So what do? They call the parents. The parents are called, and the teacher says, you need to bring him to the doctor because he's in trouble in class with focusing, or she can't focus in class and can't do her work. She's daydreaming. She's looking at the outdoors, which is where she should be. But anyway, then you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, yes, you know, you're, according to our very narrow criteria, which they've made so that it catches basically 70% of the children in the world right now. They say, oh, your child meets a criteria for this hyperactive disorder. We're going to medicate them. Well, what do? They give him amphetamines, which is, or something, an amphetamine analog that overdrives their system. So their brain is working so hard that it stops taking extra input from the environment. So now the kid is not cued by its external stimuli, but they're now overwhelmed by their internal stimuli. So now you have a child that's zombified, that's over-medicated. And the long-term effects of amphetamines and stimulants on the brain tissue, the nervous tissue, just think of Parkinson's, think of Alzheimer's, dementia. Along with everything that we've done in this modern world, when you look at processed foods and pharmaceuticals and everything, you look at the timeline of where they've increased in our world, guess what? Some of these major diseases, suicide is going off the rails, dementia is going up, Parkinson's is going up, neurodegenerative problems are going up, malnutrition is going up, obesity is going up, metabolic syndrome is going up. We're seeing obesity rates in children that are just outrageous. If you look at a high school or a grade school picture in the 50s and 60s of children in the 40s, you don't see a large overweight child. You look at a classroom picture today, and over half of those children are going to be overweight. And what is it? It's because what we're feeding them, it's what we're allowing them to do, it's what we're prescribing for them. We're creating a civilization of death and disease instead of enjoying this incredible planet with all of its beauty and all of its joys. Think of if everybody was happy, or if most people were happy, do you think we'd have the problems that we're having in this world today? Do you think people would have to go to drugs to just cope? No. You know, take a little bit of hemp oil and kick back and go out and garden, get your fingers and your feet dirty, and you're supplying the bacteria that you need to be healthy. You're supplying the sunshine that, you know, we talk about vitamin D and sunshine, but sunshine, the body is actually, a lot of the energetic systems, the cell signaling is by photons, by packets of light. We just figured that out. You know, humans, when I was going through school, we were told plants have chlorophyll, humans have hemoglobin. The difference is our hemoglobin has an iron molecule in the center of the protein. In plants, they have magnesium in the center of their protein. We were told that chlorophyll has no effect on humans. We are so wrong. We understand now that our body actually incorporates chlorophyll that we eat in plants and uses that as an energetic source. So we actually photosynthesize. I mean, not the way that plants do, but our cells communicate by light. So just going out and getting light, getting sunshine, let the earth care for you. If I have my druthers and I have something, I turn to a natural earth remedy. Jimstenna is a plant that's beautiful, and I just grew some and I just harvested and dried it. It makes a wonderful tea. You take that tea and you just go, wow, I feel so good. But instead of going to earth, to Gaia, to nature, we go to our doctor who's overworked, underpaid, is on the, I don't know if it's the same in Sweden, but in the United States, your performance is based on the number of people you get in and out, and not how well they're treated physiologically or medically treated, but how they perceive the treatment. So you could be the most terrible doctor in the world, but the nicest one, and you could do better than somebody who really works hard to get their patients better, but doesn't get their, you know, the accolades. So it's crazy. We're upside down.
Yeah, we are. But I mean, you really talked about the solution. So, and I think that's fantastic. I mean, go out and in the sun, hang with people you love, and think of what you eat, and use CBD, and yeah. So,
it's a beautiful system. It's simple. People think that changing their lifestyle is so difficult. It's not difficult. And granted that modern food manufacturing, modern marketing has created an addictive, I mean, we're addicted to fast foods. We're addicted to instant gratification. We're addicted by marketing. If you watch any media, those media, they're not designed haphazardly. They're designed to work against your psychology, to make you make a decision to do something that is profitable for them. But once you focus yourself on doing healthy things, your body responds in such a beautiful way that going out and walking every day doesn't become, oh, I have to go out and do 30 minutes of walking. No, it becomes, I have to get outside. I need to get outside and feel my feet on the soil, and take my shoes off, and or cold jump in a Swedish lake, you know, in the middle of November or December. All those things, they seem like a burden, but they become such a special part of your life once you open yourself to it, that you, once you start to cherish this beautiful body that you have, then it doesn't become a chore, doesn't become difficult to nourish it. People look at me like I'm crazy. Oh, you don't eat gluten, you don't eat processed foods, you don't do any of this stuff. How can you do that? How can you pass by a McDonald's and not have their fries? Well, I don't need their fries because I care about my body. For me, it's so much easier to look at, I may not live longer, hopefully I will, but I may not live longer than someone who eats some of this other stuff for a number of reasons, but I feel better.
Yeah, and the effect of, and the effect of eating good food, it's instant. I mean, I can really sense the difference. And it's instant. And you talked about going out. Yeah.
Yeah, like a tomato. If you get a factory farm tomato, like here in the Central Valley of California, that supplies most of our tomatoes. Our tomatoes are shipped green. They're in absolutely depleted soils. The soils of the Central Valley of California have been denuded of all nutrients. They only put basically three nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in the soils. They pick the tomatoes green. They're hard, they're green, because that way when they're shipped in the big trucks, they don't get damaged and bruised. The trucks are then moved into a big warehouse. Ethylene gas is pumped into the warehouse to ripen the fruit. But a modern tomato versus an heirloom tomato grown in organic volcanic soil, this tomato has maybe 45, 50, 60 nutrients at tops, the factory. The holistic tomato has maybe 240, 300 different nutrients, trace and ultra trace minerals. So you can taste it. Your body knows that inherently. When you eat a Big Mac, just the thought of a Big Mac makes me want to vomit. But if I go out and I eat a snap pea out of a garden fresh, it's just like, oh.
Yeah, and also, like you said, going out in the garden, the spring, I started to dig into this, that the soil actually have this antidepressive effect. So you can take your shoes off and just standing on the ground for like 20 minutes, it calms the body. So I started to drag my kids out in the morning and they were like, wow, mom, you're crazy. And one morning it was very cold and my 7-year-old son, he said, mama, this can't be good. I mean, it's cold and I'm going here barefoot with you. But
it actually is very good. It's, you know, the one thing, if there's one little tidbit that I think is very important in it, and it kind of highlights how important going out in nature is. The earth has a natural charge, electrical charge, and it happens to be 0.6 millivolts. The human body, the charge, every cell has a charge gradient, an electrical charge that the body maintains. It spends a lot of energy to maintain this particular electrical charge gradient on the cells. Well, guess what that charge is? 0.6 millivolts. So when you are diseased and that charge, your body is working really hard to keep that charge balanced. If you walk out in nature barefoot, you're going to naturally ground your body to earth, which means that every cell eventually, that's why when you say go outside for 20 minutes, you feel better when you're grounding for 20 minutes. Well, that's because your body has now achieved that natural charge. The earth is such a huge electrical sink that it can ground so much that your body just goes, feels so good, and you end up grounding to Mother Earth. And you talk about, people wonder, oh, that sounds really coincidental. No, it's not coincidental at all. So we, depending on your belief system, we formed from single cell organisms to multicellular organisms, and then over, you know, billions of years, we have what we have here. And there's no coincidence that even though we are very a very complex system, our base system can always be tied back to Earth, can always be tied back to where we came. The water, you feel so much better when you're walking barefoot on a beach at an ocean or even a lake. Why? Because the ionization of the minerals in salt water are just what our cells need. It's the same concentration that we have in our cells. So we naturally go in and balance ourselves. The electrical charge of our body and the earth is identical. So we've naturally feel better when we recharge, when we plug into earth. The bacteria that we get on our fingernails and our hands when we work in our gardens is the same bacteria that helps keep us healthy, helps us absorb that. The mycelia that are in the ground, they create compounds and such that are released in your body that help to drive the bioenzymatic systems in your cells. It's so beautiful. It's, and people wonder, you know, my peers, the doctor peers that I have, they think I've gone completely wackadoo. They think I'm nuts. And I just look at them and I go, it's so obvious to me. I'm so much happier that I'm not in that system. I'm so much happier that I'm living my life with a passion, with a joy, and I can go out and I learn every day. I'm studying every day. Not because I have to, because I have to satisfy some administrator. I'm studying every day because I want to learn. I have this zest and joy for learning how to connect with my natural world. And that evolution, to tie it back to CBD, CBD is a part of my daily life. I take it in several different forms. I take it every day. The nutritional value that I get from that compound is a pillar of my health and wellness and longevity journey through life. And I'm certainly much better for it.
Thank you, Stephen. I mean, really from my heart. I mean, fantastic. So much knowledge. Great.
Well, I'm just a baby. I'm a baby in all this knowledge. I mean, there's so much to know. It's mind-boggling. Mm. But yeah, it was a delight and a pleasure. I love to be able to disseminate maybe something. I know sometimes I get into the weeds and I call it the Dr. Molecule phenomenon, where I get into, you know, kind of details and people, their eyes glaze over. But if I can just impart a little bit of maybe some of my passion for the natural world to somebody, it doesn't matter that they remember anything that I said about the physiology or such. But if you can walk away from something that I've said and go, I think I better try harder, or I think I'm going to try this. It sounds fun. Maybe it's not fun. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier to drive up to a window and order a Big Mac heart attack. But I don't think so.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening. And so we end this here.